Welcome to Dragon Football Weekly. Tucker Green here alongside Jess Walker, back live in studio, Halloween week edition. Happy Halloween, Jess, and all of our listeners. By the time you're hearing this, we'll hope you have got lots of candy.
Yeah, downtown crowded right now. Of course, we're located right here on Main Street, just off the main downtown row, and I was kind of shocked. I figured they would do this on like Saturday or something. We are recording on Halloween Day, and I wasn't expecting the trick-or-treating to be going on right this moment, about 5:30 on Halloween Day. So
they're observing the literal day, October 31st. So back to why you listen to us, Pickens football. A lot of buzz around North Georgia and high school sports. Surprisingly, I hate to say that, about Pickens football. That's because they got a huge upset victory last Friday over region opponent White County. It was a 39-37 victory up in Cleveland last week. Jess had the call for you on both sides, filling in for me, double duty, which I appreciate, by the way, Jess. Kudos to you. Heard you did a good job. Some fans were even noting they may have enjoyed my absence.
What?
But maybe favored you over me. I don't know. But and I will say, I have been off for 2 weeks, and the Dragons are 2-0. So yeah. I am feeling
hot.
I'm feeling a little anxious about coming back on the call Friday night. But anyway, huge win for the Dragons. Cannot understate how big that victory was against White County, and what appeared to be a very competitive, good game up in Cleveland. Jess is going to break that down for us in just a moment. But the game literally keeps the season alive, keeps the Dragons in the hunt, very much so, for coming into their final regular season game this Friday on the road at Wesleyan. We'll have the call together, the team fully intact, with the Northside pregame show at 7, kickoff at 7:30. Be sure to tune in for that game. You will not want to miss. Dragons at 3-6 overall, but with the key region victories they've had, they have left themselves with the possibility of making the playoffs should they get a victory Friday night and a few other things go their way. We're going to talk about that later on in the show. We'll break down all the playoff scenarios for you. But first and foremost, the game that got them in this position, the game against White County that was a 39-37 victory last Friday. Break it down for us, Jess.
Yeah, does keep the season alive, and that's one of the kind of what we want to make the main portion of the show about. But we'll start you off with how we got there. The theme of the game to me, which if you listen, you're aware, was not converting point after attempts, PATs, whether it be of the 2-point or 1-point variety. Each team had a hard time with it. You noted the final score, 39-37. That was with 6 touchdowns scored by each team, which those are 2 unusual totals. When you scored 6 touchdowns, Pickens was 3-for-6. They had 1 blocked, the very first one of the game. 2 missed. Those were crucial. We'll talk about that kind of when we're going through the game recap. White, on the other hand, was 1-for-6. They had 1 blocked. They missed one, and then they started trying to knot things up because of those blocked and missed extra points, and they were 0-for-3 on their 2-point attempts. But just going back through the game, kind of step by step, if you weren't able to tune in, back and forth, a ton of offense, and that's always, I think, the type of game. I mentioned it in the pregame that if Pickens was going to win, it needed to be a shootout. That seems to be the type of games they compete in. I know we've had 2 losses in the last 2 matchups, but North Murray is always that way. We do always seem to compete in those games that are shootouts. Dragons open it up, 6-0, Landon Poole. Screen pass, went for a touchdown, about 30, 32 yards. That was when the following extra point was blocked. White County is able to almost immediately answer on a trip Knicks long rushing touchdown. They convert the extra point, followed by a striker interception, which allowed them to get up 6-13. This is the one that Pickens blocked. So as of this moment, teams are on even keel as far as PATs go. Game goes back and forth for the rest of the half. You had the long run by Miguel Salto, 65-yard touchdown to knot it up at 13. Then you get a big fourth down stop by the Dragons, long pass to McCord Purdy. We had a few of those. He gets his first TD of the night, make it 20-13. Of course, White answers, and there's where we had the miss extra point, making it 20-19, which throughout the game, this is going to plague them. Pickens took it into the half, 27-19, 8-point lead after another long pass to McCord Purdy, which was followed up by a short touchdown pass. That's kind of the striker and Purdy kept connecting on these long plays where he would get tackled inside the 10. They made sure he got his touchdown either way. So the Dragons go into the half up 27-19. White County answers with the first possession of the half, but they go for two, can't knot it up, 27-25. A little bit later, another Purdy touchdown makes it 33-25. The Charlie Gibbons extra point would have put the Dragons up two scores at this point, would have made it a 9-point game. He could not convert. We have a back-and-forth fumbles by each team. White County fumbles, and then Pickens gives it right back to him. We do go into the fourth quarter, 33-25. White County scores a touchdown again by Tripnix. He was, as expected, a dominant force on both, mainly through the ground. As we saw, he did throw it a little bit, but his presence was mainly felt in the ground game. 33-31, they go for another 2-point conversion, cannot convert. Finally, about halfway through the fourth quarter, the Dragons go up 39-31. Again, Charlie Gibbons on his leg has an opportunity almost to put the game away, make it a two-score game. He cannot convert again. Ends up not coming back to bite us. White County does score with about 4 minutes left in the ball game, but they again fail on their third 2-point conversion. Exciting game start to finish. Came down to the PATs. Both teams were equal as far as touchdowns go. It was highly unusual. It was unusual to see Charlie miss those two extra points. You know, the first one was blocked. That's one thing. But for him just to miss two like that, highly unusual. He did back it up on the defensive end as he had a sack and a couple tackles for loss. So probably his best game on the defensive end since our very first game of the season. Something to keep in mind, two wins of the three he's had. He's had two big games defensively. So it was fun. It was a blast to do. A lot of offense, high-intensity moments. Each one of those 2-point conversions were high-intensity, especially the two in the fourth quarter that White was unable to convert. And just a massive win for the Dragons last Friday night to keep hope alive. Hope, we've been breaking it down all week. It's kind of been racking my brain. There were moments where I thought there was slim to no chance, and then there were moments where I thought there was a great chance, and it's kind of shook out somewhere in the middle, and we'll cover that in a little bit, but wouldn't be possible without this win.
Sounds like a great game. I really hate I missed it. Some of the things are really surprising. I mean, like you said, that the PATs on both teams, especially our Charlie Gibbons, he's been a star all season. That's kind of a strange thing that occurred. But standout game once again from McCord Purdy. And really what stood out to me, would you say this was Sam Stryker's best game of the year?
I would say it's potentially the best game of his career.
Yeah.
Not of the year.
The stats, I think, speak for themselves in that he had a phenomenal game. You, of course, seeing it in person can give you a little more context, but I imagine it had to have been one of his best games for sure.
Yeah, and the majority of that was through him and McCord. Sam, over 400 total yards, was responsible for 5 TDs, 4 through the air, one rushing. McCord, 6 catches, 109 yards, 3 touchdowns. They hooked up a few times on long pass plays. The offense looked good. And it's already been mentioned, but the Dragons do seem to play better in that type of a game where it's more wide open. They've got the speed, they've got the skill players to match that in their opponents. It's kind of these more tough physical defensive games where we've struggled. So I was also surprised to see the outcome was a win. I'm not surprised that that's the way it had to come. I did think that if the Dragons were going to pick up the win, that it needed to be a high-scoring game, and it definitely was.
Not to take anything away from the Dragons at all, huge victory for them, but did anything from the White County team surprise you Friday night?
No.
It, it, basically the team you expected to see.
Yeah, I mean, each team, they won the turnover battle. They had us beat in turnovers. We turned the ball over twice. They turned the ball over once. So, I mean, that's another thing that you would kind of look for. Didn't throw the ball a whole lot. Was a lot on the ground, but it was successful. Trip Nix, great runner, and Fowler, the running back, Ryan, I believe. I know his first name started with R, I believe, is Ryan Fowler. Both of them, heavy dose of both of those guys. But it was just, we made the defense. It's going to sound funny, I mentioned it on the air. Even though they gave up 37 points, I think the defense came up huge in terms of pressure plays and stepping up when they needed to. There was a turnover on downs by White in the second quarter that was big, so they came up big on a fourth down there. And then, of course, coming up big on 3 2-point conversions. I mean, those are done from the 2-yard line. And 3 times, White County was unable to punch it in, and Pickens was able to stop them from converting that. And that's extremely difficult to do. So hats off to the defense. Even though there might be a high-scoring game, they came up big where it mattered.
Jess, appreciate all that context of the game. For anybody that may have missed it, appreciate your coverage on air Friday night, doing a good job for the fans to bring them coverage of this high-stakes game that turned out in the Dragons' favor. Kudos to Coach Myers and his staff for not quitting, not giving in. They very much are keeping their own season alive, trying to control their own destiny. So kudos to them and the players. Have more breakdown on what is at stake this Friday night against Wesleyan, as well as playoff picture on the other side of this around the region. Stay with us.
With Northside Hospital, you can look forward to new beginnings, look ahead to comeback seasons, and look up for hope and strength. Northside welcomes you into our community of care, guided by one clear direction, a mission to heal. Led by our expertise in maternity, heart, cancer, orthopedics, and more, you can move into tomorrow with confidence. For a healthier future together, look to Northside Hospital.
Feed all the hungry people in your family at Culver's of Jasper. Their signature butter burgers are fresh, never frozen, and the frozen custard is the perfect treat. Culver's of Jasper is locally owned and operated by local people who care about our community. Their passion for fresh food is as strong as their love for the community. They're proud of where they're located and how their local roots have made them who they are. Get fresh food now at Culver's of Jasper, just in front of Walmart.
Finding the right home for your family is important. The journey can be time-consuming and difficult. You want the right size, the perfect location, and great internet. ETC makes it easy to see what internet services you can get for your future or current home. Visit etcfiber.com, enter your address, and get an overview of all available services with pricing. No more internet surprises. Check before you buy. Make sure your home is right for you with ETC Ignite Internet, offering speeds up to 2.5 gigs. Call 844-708-5288 or visit etcfiber.com.
Back now on Dragon Football Weekly, as the playoff picture comes a little bit more into view with the final week of the regular season upon us, do want to update fans of where things do stand around the region. Last week we talked about the big win for the Dragons against White County. Wesleyan, our opponent this Friday night, they came away with a big victory last Thursday, actually, against West Hall. Not a surprise there for anyone that's kept up with how things have played out around the region. It was a 49-21 victory for Wesleyan, which locked in the number 2 seed for them. Lumpkin County, the number 1 seed, they secured that as well with a victory in Dawsonville against the Dawson Tigers. 34-23 was that final. They remain undefeated on the season. Current standings: Lumpkin, as I noted, at 1, they're 5-0. Wesleyan, number 2, they're 4-1. Gilmer sits at the 3 seed currently in the region, 3-2 overall. Pickens, with that big win over White County, slips into the 4 seed, 2-3 in region. White would be in 5 at 2-3. Dawson coming in at 6, 2-4. And West Hall in the back of the pack, 0-5, unable to win a region game. Couple of huge games that will determine the playoff picture taking place this Friday night. Of course, our big matchup on the road at Wesleyan, which has huge implications. You have Gilmer at White County this Friday night. That has big playoff implications. And then in a game which doesn't have much significance on the playoff picture, Lumpkin County, the number one seed, soon to be region champs, will travel to West Hall, who, as we noted, is at the end of the list there for the region standings. Dawson will be on a bye this week. That's the way it fell, so their regular season is over. They have a very slim chance of possibly coming into the playoffs, but most likely their season is over. But to be determined. So we're going to have a lot more on that here in a few minutes, the full playoff scenarios and what these things mean. But I do want to get your thoughts on some of those games last week, games this week, and anything, general thoughts all around the region.
Yeah, we're going to get into the fun part after this. Just a general recap. It was funny, I previewed the West Hall Wesleyan game in the pregame show on Friday night, not knowing that it had already taken place. I previewed it saying that, you know, basically Wesleyan would come away with a win, but I wouldn't be surprised to see West Hall be a little bit frisky in that game. Wesleyan struggled on the road throughout their 2 years in the region. I wouldn't say that 49-21 outcome is quite frisky, but I don't think that's a horrible outcome from what we've seen from West Hall. 28 points, they were able to put 21 up on the board. That's more than I know they were at least able to put up against us. I want to keep an eye out on them for years to come. Just the main fact that they had their quarterback start as a freshman and now as a sophomore, he'll have 2 years under his belt before he begins next year, and that's a big thing. Dawson able to play Lumpkin decently close, 11-point ball game. Dawson's just not what they were last year, and Lumpkin is on another tier as they clinched the region championship last Friday. As you noted, they are 5-0, and Wesleyan's 4-1, but they hold the head-to-head over Wesleyan, so nothing that can be done there. This week, they play, I hate to say it's meaningless, but in terms of the standings, it is. No matter what happens, West Hall will finish at the rear and Lumpkin will finish up on top. So, be interesting to see how that one might play out. I don't want to hint too much into something I'm going to talk about later. But with, playoffs, a home playoff game coming up for Lumpkin, one that they would most likely be heavily favored in against a 4 seed, it'd be interesting to see if they want to play their starters and how long they play their starters in that game against West Hall. So it could be an opportunity for West Hall to maybe play against some younger kids, a second team for Lumpkin, and compete throughout the game. Gilmer at White is massive for what will take place. I think it will be a great game. White County, it's almost like two contrasting styles. Gilmer is going to be between the tackles, physical and slow. White County is speedy and fast. So it'll just be a matter of, I think whoever leads early will control that game. I think if it's White and White gets the lead early, that they could run away with it, which does matter to us. I think if Gilmer gets the lead early, then it could be a close game and one that Gilmer could possibly win, which also matters to us. But I will save that for the big portion of the show after our next break.
Yeah, very, as we talked about, kind of interesting how the region is beginning to shape up. Big games that we'll bring you coverage of Friday night. Of course, with the main one being Pickens' final regular season game when they travel to Wesleyan. More on that and the playoff scenarios on the other side of this break.
Piedmont Mountainside Hospital has been a leader of quality medical care in Georgia with 16 consecutive A hospital safety grades Leapfrog Group and consistently ranking in the top 5 Atlanta hospitals in patient excellence. Piedmont offers a wide range of services and specialties including imaging, cardiac rehabilitation, and general surgery to meet the acute and long-term needs of the community. In addition, Piedmont Mountainside offers 24-hour emergency and intensive care in Jasper and in LJ. Choose Piedmont Mountainside. Real change lives here.
The word community means everything to the people of Community Bank of Pickens County. Community is much more than a name to the owners and staff. They're proud to be the area's only locally owned and operated bank and have a staff that lives in our area. They've continued to offer in-person service at both of their full-service locations while also offering you the latest online banking technology. Community Bank of Pickens County, saying go Dragons during this football season. Member FDIC.
My dad has always told me, if you want something done right, sometimes that means you just have to do it yourself.
That's right. Dan Jape here with my son, Daniel, excited to share that we're doing it right again.
Introducing Jape Services.
We're the same family that has served Atlanta with reliable heating, cooling, and plumbing services for over five decades.
Our professionals at Jape Services are licensed, insured, and ready to assist.
And we're doing it right.
Visit japeservices.com.
From our family
to yours,
japeservices.com.
The Pickens County Recycling Centers are open to serve all residents of Pickens County. They offer free paper shredding and free collections of typical recyclable items such as glass, cardboard, and newspaper. You can also recycle large items such as appliances and mattresses for a small fee. The main recycling center is located at 390 Appalachian Court off the 515, or visit the east side location on Cove Road in Marble Hill. The goal of the Pickens County Recycling Center is to reduce waste to our landfills.
You're listening to Dragon Football Weekly, brought to you by Tri-State Communications Sports Network, your voice for the Pickens Dragon football team this season as the playoff picture begins to take shape. I noted on the before this break, Lumpkin County will be the region champions. That's all said but done. They have locked in the number one seed. Wesleyan, the Dragons' opponent this Friday night, have locked in the number two seed. They will be the region runner-up. This is important. Remember that for a little later on when we talk about some of these possible scenarios that will play out. So really what you have is you have two more seeds available, the three seed and the four seed, that a multitude of teams are vying for. Really you have Gilmer, Pickens, White, and Dawson all vying to get those two seeds. So you can do the math. Two will most get in, two will not. So that's kind of where we're looking right now. Different scenarios can play out different ways. Jess is going to break them all down for you in just a moment. There is a more than likely scenario, probably, where a tiebreaker could come into play, where depending on the outcomes of the Gilmer-White game and the Pickens-Wesleyan game this Friday, there could be multiple teams tied. It's interesting, when you get into that scenario, each region determines their own tiebreaker rules. And our region, best that we were able to confirm, and we did consult with Pickens athletic coaches, we believe this to be accurate. We were told that our region follows two rules with a tiebreaker. First, head-to-head, followed by a point differential to determine who would win these tiebreakers. I'll let Jess give a little bit more detail of what that means as he gets into those scenarios of a tiebreaker later on. But Jess, I'll kind of let you paint the picture for what could happen this Friday.
Yeah, there's a lot. And please, you know, take this with a caveat. As you said, our understanding is that it's head-to-head followed by point differential. Obviously, head-to-head is easy when you've only got two teams involved. But when you come into these three-team tiebreakers, especially in this region where a lot of them are going to be 1-1 versus each other, no matter, you know, depending on what happens, it gets a little bit tricky. And our understanding of the point differential is that is only the point differential between those three teams. So let's say that Pickens, White County, and Dawson County are all tied at 2-4 in the region. It would only be the point differential in which Pickens played White and Dawson and vice versa for all those three teams. So that is going to matter a lot how you played against the teams you're tied with. We'll detail it for all four teams. I know Tucker mentioned Dawson sitting at home watching. I actually think they have a pretty good shot at getting in because they hold one of these tiebreakers between three of the teams. So I actually, if I had to rank whose shoes I would like to be in the most, And we'll start this by detailing before we go into what happens. It would be 1, Gilmer. 2, Dawson. 3, Pickens. And 4, White. That would be how I would rank where I'm sitting. The only thing that's bad about Dawson is you just kind of have to watch and see what happens. That's kind of tough with ranking their situation over that of Pickens. Pickens, to an extent, can control their destiny, and to an extent they can't. But I'll just, instead of all this rambling, I'll just go ahead and go right in. We're going to detail all the scenarios based on what Pickens does and what Gilmer does. So conversely, whatever Gilmer does, White County will do the opposite. You can figure it out from there. I'll start with the least optimistic and go to the most. Pickens loses and Gilmer loses. Pickens is out. There is no tiebreak in place. So while this one is not the outcome we want, it is an easy one to explain. Gilmer would be 3-3 at that point, as would White County. Pickens and Dawson would be left with 2 wins. So in that scenario, White County would actually get the 3 seed for owning the head-to-head over Gilmer, and Gilmer would be the 4. Pickens would be out. So that's a pretty easy one. Next one, Pickens loses and Gilmer wins. Pickens is out, 100%. There will be a tiebreaker involved, as Pickens, White, and Dawson would all have 2 wins in that given scenario. They would all be 2-4. But since these 3 teams have already played each other, if we understand the tiebreaker correctly, Pickens is going to be out, mainly due to that massive loss to Dawson, 42-7, and a slim win, a 2-point win over White. In that scenario, Dawson actually sneaks in by sitting at home, also because of their huge point differential versus Pickens, a plus 35 there. Even though they lost to White, their win over Pickens was much larger than their loss to White. So based on that point differential, they are in a Pickens lose, Gilmer win scenario. That would leave Gilmer as the 3 seed, and Dawson would sneak in as the 4, which just seems unreal at this point that they were alive, which of course, you know, felt that way about us a couple weeks ago, and here we are. All right, now we get into the more fun ones, the more optimistic ones. Pickens win and Gilmer loses. Maybe we get in. This would result in a 3-way tie between White, Pickens, and Gilmer, and 2 of those teams would get in. Unlike the tiebreaker scenario that we detailed prior, where only 1 team gets in, this would be a 3-way tie for 2 spots. So 2 would get in. If you recall, Pickens lost to Gilmer by 11. They beat White by 2. So they're currently a minus 9. They would need Gilmer to be at least a minus 10. Since Gilmer won by 11, they would need to lose to White by 21 to allow Pickens to sneak in this one. It's very disappointing that we could win and still need Gilmer to back it up for us to definitely get in. But this would leave a possible scenario, and I did talk about in the preview of that matchup that if White County gets up early, it'll be tough for Gilmer to get back in the game, and I think it is one they could run away with. So if Gilmer were to lose on Friday, we need them to lose in a large fashion for us to find the 4th seed, even if we do pick up a win. I know that's very discouraging to hear, that it is not just winning in on Friday. We're going to need some help as well. This scenario should be everyone's favorite. Pickens win and Gilmer wins. Pickens is in, no tiebreakers, no fuss about it. It'd be Gilmer occupying the 3rd with 4 region wins, and Pickens occupying the 4th with 3 region wins. White and Dawson would both only had 2. So for once, we are rooting on Gilmer heavily. We of course have to back it up ourselves with a win, but if us and Gilmer can get a win, there will be no fuss. Doesn't matter. You know, we can both win by 1. We can both win by 100. Does not matter. Pickens will find themselves in the playoffs and as a 4 seed traveling to face, I believe it would be Adairsville. I know we're matching up with Region 6 this year, not Region 8. I did talk about that on the broadcast incorrectly. I was talking about a potential matchup between Gilmer and Stevens. That would have been last year. This year we are matching up with Region 6. So, We can break that all down in a quick summary again if you want to. I know it was a lot. What you want, if you're a Pickens fan, is you want Pickens to win. You must have Pickens win, and then really you want to get win out of Gilmer as well.
A lot of different ways this could play out, but same could have been said last week. We wouldn't even be talking about this situation. I will toot my own horn. If you remember on the Dragon Football Weekly broadcast last week, I predicted a Dragon victory. I would like to go back. I don't remember what I predicted the score to be, but I did predict a Dragon victory in a close game to get the upset. So I am, even though I was not there, I'm going to pat myself on the back on that one.
They're all out there. We can go back and see.
You're exactly right. I mean, a lot of ways this cookie can crumble, but if we interpret these region tiebreaker rules correctly, which I think we do, Pickens has to win. First and foremost, Pickens has to win. That's what you need to know. Then basically after that, all eyes are on White and Gilmer. If easiest scenario, you want Gilmer to win, and then it's done.
Yeah.
If Gilmer loses, you better hope they lose big, is what we're getting at with the tiebreaker rules to get that point differential. That's kind of what you're looking for. I guess that's the simplest way to put it. Dragons win, Gilmer either win, or Gilmer lose big.
You kind of need opposing ideas as far as the Gilmer game's concerned. You do not want them to lose in a tight game. And this is to, like I said, take all this with a grain of salt. We're assuming kind of that the point differential means only between those three teams. That's what the coaching staff seem to understand. That's what makes the most sense to me. If it's talking about your point differential over an entire year, we've got a whole nother thing coming. But we firmly believe that it is just the point differential for the three teams involved in the tiebreaker. And since Pickens had such a slim victory over White County, they will need Gilmer to lose big if they're going to lose. Can't have a tight game and have Gilmer come out on the losing end. One thing that, as I was breaking this all down, I'm not a football coach, but I know, and you know, if you have a blowout game, you often want to take your foot off the gas out of sportsmanship and sake of injury and things like that. As I was going through all this, and I'm sure if the Pickens coaching staff is too, I'm sure in the future if they ever have a large lead over someone, especially a region opponent, that they will not hesitate to keep it moving and keep putting points on the board especially this year, every point you have scored against these teams is going to matter. And it's wild to think about coming back now, what you might think is a meaningless touchdown at the end of the fourth quarter in a game that wasn't even close to begin with, that somewhere along the line, it could end up being what gets you into the playoffs or doesn't.
You're exactly right, and I think that's key. Obviously, we can't get in the heads of head coaches, but you got to think when they're playing a game on Friday night, that's probably the back of their mind. They're not thinking about it at that level of implication long term.
Yeah, I wouldn't either, now I think they will from in the future.
Well, and I think that's why it's important to point out these region, my understanding of how this works, these region coaches get together before the season starts every year, and it's determined these rules are set preseason in place, obviously as it would have to be. So everybody's aware of how it comes into play, and now it could come into play.
Very heavily.
It's interesting. But the positive here, if you're a Dragon fan, a week or 2 weeks ago, you weren't even thinking about playoffs, and now you're very much
technically, you're in right now. Technically.
Yeah, technically.
Yeah, but if the season ended today, you would be the fourth seed.
But the Dragons are in the thick of it. That is for sure. And in some ways, they can control their own destiny. They need help, but they can control to a degree by getting the win Friday at Wesleyan. There are some other implications to consider about that too, which will be interesting. We're going to talk about in just a minute. We, of course, will have coverage for you on Friday night on the road over in Peachtree Corners. I believe that's
Peachtree
where they're
Corners
at.
We're official, going Norcross area.
Yeah, kind of going to the big city for this North Georgia region primarily. It's Wesleyan is the outlier in our region, no doubt about it, for a couple of reasons. But we will have coverage nonetheless for you in this huge game, starting with the Northside pregame show at 7, kickoff 7:30 on 93.7, 98.1 FM, and streaming online. On the other side of this break, we'll talk to you about Wesleyan and what it will take to get this first big step in making the playoffs a victory over them. Stay with us.
Pueblo Cantina is Jasper's best Mexican restaurant. Local folks know they use only fresh ingredients and serve a wide variety of freshly made dishes. Restaurants come and go, but Pueblo Cantina has been open since 1997. Lunch or dinner, 7 days a week. Come to Jasper's best Mexican restaurant, Pueblo Cantina, 25 Luke Carver Drive at 53 and 515 Jasper. Go Dragons!
In sports, every point counts, and at Alpha Insurance, they know when it comes to your budget, every dollar counts. That's why they work hard to get you the lowest rates and best discounts available. Plus, every Alpha policy comes with personal service from their hometown team. Call Alpha to start saving today. In Jasper, call Alpha agent Bill Lawrence at 706-692-2436 or stop by their office at 744 Noah Drive. Score savings with Alpha Insurance.
J.L. Weaver Law Firm of Jasper is proud to be part of the Pickens County community. They're behind the Dragons all the way and want to congratulate all the players, cheerleaders, and band members who've put in countless hours of work for this season. The J.L. Weaver Law Firm specializes in criminal defense, DUI, personal injury, and family law. 57 Southeast Street, Jasper. Call 706-253-1001. J.L. Weaver Law Firm.
Welcome back. You're listening to Dragon Football Weekly. Tucker and Jess here, breaking down all the possible playoff scenarios, but it starts with the final regular season game this Friday night when the Dragons take on the Wesleyan Wolves on the road. I talked about earlier that Wesleyan has locked in the number two seed for the playoffs. That is key. Could come into play. Jess made that point earlier off air when we were talking that it's possible that, you know, they could be sitting some players, resting some players, guys not playing all four quarters. So that's a big question. Who will play and how much? Because while that's a complete guess on our part, first of all, but while, of course, they want to end their season on a win, it would be their final home game, senior night, so to speak, although they will get a home playoff game, I guess, now that I say that. I don't think they want to end their season on with a loss. I don't think they think, oh, this game doesn't matter. I don't believe that. But the reality is they have secured their playoff position. They have secured a home playoff game.
And cannot improve it.
And cannot improve, right, because Lumpkin has also secured the number one seed. There's nowhere to go for them. So they could be thinking, okay, why risk any injury? Why don't we get some other people some looks, whatever it may be? That could come into play, which could be, I hate to say it, to the Dragons' favor, possibly. Might not. This could be a moot point and that not happen at all. But that's something to have in the back of your mind as you go into this game Friday of what kind of personnel we'll see from Wesleyan. They are a very good football program, first and foremost. People probably of all the region teams, again, not as familiar with Wesleyan. They came into our region first time last year. Underachieved in their first season of Region 7 AAA after the reclassification. They did sneak into the playoffs and secure a 4-seed, but really turned out to not be as strong as most around North Georgia expected them to be in their first season. That has changed. They've improved this year very much. We said they secured the number 2 seed already. Only loss, I believe, coming against Lumpkin thus far. One part we talk about last year, Pickens did win this game last year, won by a touchdown. 20-13 was the final in Jasper last year, which helped Pickens secure that playoff spot, number 3 seed. Really
bumped them up.
Yeah, a game, again, didn't know if we would win. The Dragons did get the victory and had some implications last year. So it's interesting that here we are again with potential implications or significant implications for the Dragons on their playoff picture. So what do we know about Wesleyan?
I'm going to backpedal first to the thing about who's going to play for them and how much they will play. This was, you know, purely something that we thought about. It certainly was not brought up to us by any of the Pickens coaching staff. I don't want to give you the idea that the Pickens coaching staff is preparing for a you know, a 50% squad from Wesleyan or anything like that. I cooked this up. It's not because any Pickens coaches told me about it, and could not even be on their minds. And honestly, I hope it's not on their minds. So if they're preparing to, you know, play the team at full strength, what I would do if I was Wesleyan, as you mentioned, it is home game, final home game of the regular season, and this is kind of what I would do, or at least what I almost expect, is I think you will see the starters play the beginning of the game, and, you know, maybe if they can get out to a little lead that their coach pulls them. I definitely wouldn't risk anything if I was their coach. I mean, you don't want to. We'll talk about some of their – they have some really talented kids on their team. Don't want to get those players hurt when you're coming into the playoffs. You also don't want them to come in rusty. What I would expect, and what my own personal opinion would be, is to see them play an abbreviated game with the fully staffed, if you will, with their first team. And if that's what they choose to do, I'm not going to apologize for it. If you're Pickens, I'm not going, you know, we will take that. I do believe that we should be prepared to beat a team at full strength, and that is, as you mentioned, what we did last year, come in kind of unexpectedly, 20-13 win in the final game of the season, this time at, or last time at home. We'll be traveling this time. Wesleyan, they actually got really lucky. You talk about sneaking into the playoffs, literally did so. They were in the playoffs before that game started last season. As Pickens began to take the lead and it became apparent they were going to win, it looked like Gilmer was going to beat White County. I don't know how many of you folks remember that. And it was going to be Pickens 3, Gilmer 4. Gilmer collapsed late in that game, late in the fourth quarter of that game, and ended up dropping it to White County, which allowed Wesleyan to get in, even with a loss to Pickens. So they literally snuck in. Not the case this year. You know, they're in, they're locked in, can't go forwards or backwards. A lot of that you've got to think. They have a longtime head coach, Franklin Pridgen. It's his 17th year at Wesleyan. He got a state championship about 15 years ago, and more recently was a runner-up. So he's had a lot of time there at Wesleyan. And of course, it was a big change for them last year as private schools were now ranked with a multiplier as far as their enrollment. They bounced up from what they had been a single-A school the majority of his tenure to a 3A school and having to travel to the mountain area for most of their away games, which is no easy task when they've got an hour-plus trip. They will have that advantage this week of being at home. They have got one of the best players we will probably have faced all season as far as individual talent. All-state wide receiver Jamie Trimble. We faced him last year, so it shouldn't be a new name. This is his senior season. He is a Syracuse commit. So Syracuse, not exactly a football powerhouse or anything like that, but certainly a large school in terms of like what we're used to facing and talent that they get. So credit to him for securing playing at the highest level next level. He's going to play a D1 in a Power 5 conference. So, yeah, big deal.
Pretty neat. I always like when we get to – I mean, I hate to say I like when we play against guys of that level because sometimes it doesn't turn out well, but it's just neat to see that caliber of an athlete on the field, I think.
Yeah, and like I know a lot of times, and this is no disrespect, getting to play at any – you know, school at the next level is a big deal. I certainly wasn't able to do so in any athletics. I'm not trying to look down on anybody, but usually it's like, you know, we might have a guy, I think one of the kids from Christian Heritage a couple years ago went to play at Chattanooga or something like that, that we see a kid that's going to like a D2 school or a smaller D1 school, and that's a big deal. So to have somebody that's going to be playing in the ACC is certainly a huge deal. Congrats to Jamie on securing that and going to be moving on. Just to throw out some more of his accolades, he has only played — these stats will sound a little bit watered down — he's only played in 7 games this year. I don't know if that was due to injury or whatever. 38 catches, 544 yards, 6 touchdowns. Like I said, that might sound a little watered down. He hasn't played the complete season. He is currently active, though. These stats won't sound watered down from his quarterback, Ben Brown. He's a junior. He's in his second year as a starter. We also faced him last year as starting as a sophomore. He's got over 2,100 yards passing, as well as 26 touchdowns to 5 interceptions. So nothing watered down about his stats. Like I said, those two are a dynamic duo, and they will be a force to be reckoned with on Friday, however long we may see them on the field.
Appreciate you breaking that down for us. Definitely people that the Dragons will have to prepare for, and I have no doubt Coach Myers and his staff are doing everything they can to get their team focused and be prepared for Wesley. And I think that will be their mentality. Let's get a victory. Let's control what we can control Friday night and see what happens. And I think if you're a Dragon fan, that's kind of what you have to hope for as well, that first and foremost, Dragons get a win to end the regular season at Wesleyan, and then let the chips fall where they may. It's just really kind of incredible to be in this position anyway at this point in the season. So we really didn't expect that to be here a few weeks ago by any means. So we'll see. Certainly we're going to be pulling for the Dragons and hoping that all finishes on a high note, including a playoff spot for the Dragons. But first big step in that will be our coverage of the football team starting Friday night, kickoff 7:30. We'll have the Northside pregame show at 7. Be sure to tune in. Until then, hope you have a great week and enjoy the Halloween holidays.